Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, "Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting or beautiful, to eat, to drink, and to enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he's also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he will not often consider the years of his life, because God will keep him occupied with the gladness of his heart." After this morning's message about the danger of money, we might be prone to overreact and decide that life is never going to be enjoyable. Well, if we're not supposed to go after money and the nicer things of life, if we're not supposed to love them, then maybe God wants us to sell everything we have, eat vegetables, sleep on the floor, never laugh, never enjoy life. But he gives us a corrective here. And the corrective is not to sell all our money. The Lord may call a few people to do that. That's not standard. The corrective is to enjoy the life that God has given you. Enjoy the life that God has given you. What does he say in verse 18? He says, "Here's what I've seen." So he's speaking from personal experience again. He says, "I've seen it to be good, it's beneficial, and it's also fitting." That word translated fitting here is actually the same word from chapter 3 and verse 11. He has made everything beautiful, appropriate, fitting in his time. He says, this is beautiful. This is an appropriate way to live. And what does he say? He says, to eat and to drink and to see good in all your labor. He says, labor is frustrating in a sin-cursed earth, but you still need to enjoy the labor that God gives to you. He says, enjoy the nice things that God provides for you. If it's vegetables that you really like, or if it's Ritz crackers, or a nice steak, or just a plain ham sandwich, whatever God has provided for you, he says, enjoy the good gifts of God. He says, you're laboring here under the sun, you're on a place cursed by sin and death. But he says, the answer is not to despair. Even though work can't provide ultimate satisfaction and meaning, it still should be enjoyable. Even though riches can't provide happiness for you, you can still enjoy the blessings, the tangible blessings that God gives, such as family, a nice meal, a stroll by the river with your spouse. In fact, if we don't enjoy these good gifts, we're actually sinning. Occasionally, you might run into a believer who thinks they're being spiritual by denying themselves the enjoyment of good gifts from God. Certain foods, maybe they're not going to sleep on a bed, they're going to sleep on the floor because they think that that's more spiritual. Solomon says it's not. Because God expects us to enjoy the good gifts that he gives to us. We don't have a long time to do it. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, during the few years of his life which God has given him. Life is short. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Imagine if life on a sin-cursed planet was really, really long. Could you imagine being Methuselah and living for hundreds of years on a sin-cursed planet? That might get old after a while. So we can actually be thankful that we only have a few years under the sun, because it's a messed up place. It's not long. But God is the one who chooses how much time we have here. That's what he says. He says it's given to him. Who decides that? God decides that. And because he has decided how much time we have here, he expects us to accept his sovereign will for our lives, whether that's a lot or a little, and then enjoy the life that he's provided for us. In fact, he says at the end of the verse, this is his reward. This is God's reward for us. Verse 19, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, He's also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So when somebody gets riches and wealth, where does he get that from? We understand it comes from God. There's nothing sinful about acquiring wealth in the right way and for the right motivations. Wealth is not sinful. The love of wealth is what's sinful, because God is the one who makes people wealthy. He's the one that gives us the ability to work hard, to make money, to provide for our families. He's the one who makes people wealthy. Once in a while, you'll hear people kind of shake their fist in God's face and say, well, I worked hard to get where I was. I practiced the piano for 6 hours a day, and I went to school for so many years. And they totally miss the point that God is the one who gave them the ability to do all those things. He's the one that makes people rich. He's the one that makes people wealthy. And notice this next part, because this is really the key of the entire passage. It says, He has also empowered him to eat from them. He gives them the power to consume what God gives to him, to eat the food that he earns by hard work. So what's he saying? Anybody, believer or unbeliever, can eat food. That's not his point. But not everybody can enjoy what he eats in the way that God intended it. This is more than just simply stuffing food into your mouth. This is the ability to find great pleasure, to find the kind of enjoyment in what God has provided. He carries on the thought. He says, to receive his reward and to rejoice in his labor. He receives his reward and he takes joy or pleasure in his work. This isn't where we expected Solomon to drive at as we got into the book, is it? Okay, these things can't satisfy, these things can't make you happy, so we think he's going to say, don't do any of those things. He says, actually, enjoy these things. There's many passages that highlight this, and we don't have the time to highlight that tonight, but I'll just list them for you if you want to jot them down, and probably in a few weeks we'll come back to them. Chapter 3 and verse 12. I know there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Chapter 3, verse 22. I've seen that nothing is better than that a man should be happy. Same word, take joy, pleasure in his activities, for that is his lot. Chapter 8, verse 15. I commended pleasure. There's nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat, to drink, and to be merry. Same word, to take joy, to take pleasure. Chapter 11, verse 8. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice. Same word, rejoice in them all. Chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, same word, take pleasure, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. God says you need to enjoy life as a Christian. You need to enjoy the good gifts He's given you. And this is the key to the entire book, in my opinion. Withdrawing from the enjoyments of life, thinking that that's spiritual, is not the answer. God expects us to enjoy His good gifts. But here's the rub. Many people on earth have lots of good gifts from the hands of God. Family, wealth, some people have health. We have all kinds of recreational opportunities around us in Calgary. We have mountains. Many of us have good jobs. Sometimes we have the opportunity to go on vacations. We have delicious food to eat. We have Moose Tracks ice cream, or whatever your favorite type of ice cream is. We have friends. And many people have all those things and then more gifts on top of that, and yet they are miserable. Why? Because they don't have the key to the entire book of Ecclesiastes. They don't have the gift of enjoyment from the hand of God. Why not? God hasn't given them the ability to fully enjoy those gifts in the way that He wants them to. Sure, they can eat the moose tracks and they can enjoy that in the sense that their taste buds work, but they can't enjoy life in the way that God intended. God has withheld the gift of enjoyment from them. The key to unlock the joy of life is not by getting more stuff. The key to unlock the enjoyment of life is having this gift of enjoyment from the hand of God. So how does this work? Now, this illustration is not original with me. I was listening to a sermon on Ecclesiastes by Dr. Jim Berg, and he illustrates it. I'm going to try and illustrate this from algebra, which is very dangerous because algebra was not my forte. But hopefully this is simple enough that it'll help. It helped me when I heard it. So we have an algebra equation. So we have any number multiplied by different numbers here. Okay, remember from algebra, the letters represent numbers. And when you have a number here and then in parentheses, you're supposed to do what? You multiply, okay? If I mess this up, please just humor me. Some of you are much better in algebra than I am. But when you get that all together, we'll say equals y, some unknown number. So in our illustration here, A, B, C, D, and so on, these are the gifts of God. And they vary from person to person. Some people might have A, they might have a wonderful family, other people might not have a wonderful family. Some people have nice food, other people don't have nice food. Some people have a wonderful marriage, other people don't have that marriage. Some people have health, other people don't have that health. Some people have a comfortable house, other people don't have that comfortable house. Some people have a good job, other people don't have that good job. Some people are blessed with kids, other people aren't blessed with kids, and goes on and on. These are all the gifts that God provides. And what happens is people try and accumulate more and more gifts here, thinking if they could just get more of this, that they would be happy. If I had a higher paying job, if I had more money, if I could retire early, if I had more gifts, more blessings from God, then I would be able to enjoy life. But that's not the key part of this equation. The key part of the equation is here. Because this is what we'll call the gift of enjoyment. The gift of enjoyment. X here is enjoyment. And who gives that? God does. God gives these, but He also gives these. So the key to how much Y would be here, satisfaction, or we would say joy in life, the key to having more satisfaction and joy in life is not to focus on this. The key is this. So let's say you've got an unbeliever who's got all kinds of gifts here. And when you total them up, it totals up to the number 5, let's just say. But their gift of enjoyment from the hand of God, their ability to fully enjoy those things, let's say is a, I'll do it down here, is only a 1. So what's their total satisfaction and joy? What are they getting out of life? They're only getting a 5. Well, let's say you've got a believer who maybe has hardly anything. Maybe they live in a very poor country. Maybe their health is very poor. Maybe their life is filled with hardships and trial upon trial. They don't have a lot. They don't have a nice house. So let's say that their gifts only total up to 2. But living in the fear of God, He gives them the gift of enjoyment, say, of 10. So their enjoyment in life is actually a 20, even though they have a lot less than the unsaved person. So the key to this whole satisfaction and joy in life is not in the gifts, and that's what Solomon's saying. There's actually another gift that is more important, and that's the gift of enjoyment that only God gives. As it's been said before, you can have all the toys in the world, but God is the one who dispenses the batteries. That's the gift of enjoyment. So Solomon says, don't focus on these. That's his point this morning. Don't focus on getting more money. He says, you need the gift of enjoyment. So the question is, okay, that sounds too good to be true. Who gets this gift of enjoyment? Flip back to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, and we'll pick it up in verse 12. He says, I know there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should, what's the next word? Fear Him. And there's another reference that I wanted to have for you, and I thought I did, but I don't. Oh, yeah, it's in verse 12 there. He says, there's nothing better for them to rejoice and to do good. So is God in heaven saying, I want my creation to be miserable? No, He's saying, I want them to have this gift of enjoyment, and I'll give them this gift of enjoyment. But He only gives the full gift of enjoyment to people who do good and fear Him. That's hopefully you and me. So you got a Christian who's not walking with the Lord. They're not living in the fear of God. God may make it so that even though they have all these gifts right here, He might give them only a one of a gift of enjoyment, or maybe for an unbeliever, even a zero. And I'm no math whiz, but zero multiplied by anything is always going to give you zero. And so they're scratching their heads. They're saying, I just got to do more. If I could just achieve this, if I could get this, then I would be happy. And they keep chasing this elusive dream, and they never find that satisfaction from anything because they don't have the gift of enjoyment from the hand of God, because they don't fear Him. They're not walking in obedience to Him. And this is a rebuke to me, because sometimes I'm unthankful, I'm ungrateful, and I act like God hasn't given me the gift of enjoyment. And I go around miserable and complaining and frustrated. This is not to suggest that a believer who's living in the fear of God is going to have lots of wonderful things. Their life may actually be much harder than the unbeliever's life. But doesn't matter that they have fewer gifts if they have the gift of enjoyment. So you can have a poor believer in a village living in poverty in South America who actually has much more satisfaction and contentment in life because they have the gift of enjoyment from God. And what does he say? He says, this is the gift of God. It's not having more money, getting a better job, getting married and having a wife, or having a better looking wife, having kids, having grandkids, adding more stuff into the equation isn't the key. So verse 20, he says, when God gives this gift of enjoyment to somebody, what happens? He says, he will not often consider the years of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. If we as believers are living in misery and wishing our life away, we need to ask ourselves, am I enjoying this gift of enjoyment from the hand of God? Oh, and by the way, it seems that people who really enjoy life as believers also have another component connected to the fear of God. They're usually very grateful people. He's not fretting about the past or worrying about the future because God is occupying his heart with joy and pleasure. God will give him the power to enjoy life. And this won't make any sense to your coworkers. This won't make any sense to your unsaved unsaved neighbors and friends and relatives because they think the key all lies in here. And so by faith, you're just going to have to accept what God says and step out in obedience and trust Him that He will provide this gift of enjoyment. This is a promise. He will provide this gift of enjoyment. Reminded of the passage in Romans chapter 8, where it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him freely for us, will He not much more with Christ freely give us all things? Which means everything that we need. So we might have one thing right here. We might have our salvation in Christ and that's it. But when God multiplies that by 20, that's a lot of joy and satisfaction in life. So even if this gift was only reduced to being part of God's creation and being redeemed by the blood of Christ, if the gift of enjoyment is there, that's a satisfying life. So Solomon says, don't look to God's gifts. Enjoy them. Don't look to God's gifts to satisfy your heart, but as He gives them, enjoy them. Probably not a typical communion message, but I believe it fits because what we're about to participate in is the best gift we've ever gotten and ever will get, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. Lord, we've been reminded today that Christ is our life, that He is our satisfaction. I know that in my own life personally, I've been quite remiss in gratitude and thanksgiving for all these good gifts, the gift of enjoyment, and the gift of Christ. So I pray that as we remember His death tonight, that You would stir my heart and all of our hearts to a deeper love for You, a deeper gratitude, and a deeper satisfaction in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.